The World Health Organization defines addiction as a chronic relapsing condition. Dahab Private Hospital recognizes that addiction is a multifaceted illness affecting an individual's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and practical well-being. With 28 and 90-day residential rehabilitation programs and Dahab's accredited private health fund approved treatment service, you or your loved one can get the help you need to navigate the rehabilitation process to regain control, to overcome that addiction, and to take back your life. If this resonates, then take the first step and call Dahab Private Hospital for addiction treatment. Addiction is treatable and recovery is possible. 1-800-329-422 or dahab.com.au. Dahab is one word, D-A-Y-H-A-B, dahab.com.au. G'day team, welcome back to another instalment of The You Project. Hope you're great. Hope life's good. Hope you're relaxing a little bit at this festive time. The bloody transition of the year with the calendar clicks over, ticks over. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. How is it going?
Look, it's going terrific. And I'm not going to pretend that you and I are in the Christmas New Year period. I could do that, but we're not. We're a week early. It's the 17th of the 12th. And we are recording like crazy people. We're doing four podcasts today. We're doing we're probably going to do, 15 podcasts this week, something like that, because what we're trying to do is load up so we can have a bit of downtime while not slacking off too much on the production or on the, the supply over the Christmas period, because a lot of people need to listen to something and a lot of people kind of struggle a little bit at this time of the year. So we think it's a good thing to do, but we also need to have some downtime. So by the end of, when do you reckon we're going to, what's today, Thursday, by about this time next week, we should be done with production for a few weeks, yeah?
Correct.
Wow. What are you going to do?
There's a few little projects that I've got in the pipeline that I'm pretty excited about.
How about a non-project?
Yes, I will be having a little bit of time off too. How about you? What are you going to be doing?
Well, you know me, jacuzzi, hammock, marching band. Fuck, I don't know. There's a few things that are my go-to, but I can't say any of them on air because... Because 98% of our listeners would laugh their ass off and 2% would write fucking horrible emails. So I can't be bothered. I can't be fucked dealing with 2%. But to you 98%, I appreciate the laughter that doesn't come, but it would have come. Hi, Steph Prem.
Hey, Craig Harper. How are you?
Oh, look, really good. Thank you. Thanks for being part of our little festive kind of podcast series.
It's an absolute pleasure, as always. Happy to be here.
Where you at, bro?
I'm just back in Melbourne, but I've just had a couple of weeks off, which has been good. I got escaped to Byron Bay for a few weeks and missed the flash floods and just got home in time. So ready to take on the festive season in a little bit more, in a little bit better headspace, I think.
What did you do in Byron?
Sweet fuck all, really. Mm. I switched off. I had, I just caught up with a lot of old friends. I've got a lot of friends based up north. A lot of water time, a lot of exercise, drank a lot of rosé and just be merry and got away from, I think, the grim state that Melbourne has been the last few months. Mm. So it was just, out of sight, out of mind a little bit, but it was just nice to be in a new environment around some really, good humans and in the sunshine.
There's been a reoccurring theme in a few podcasts of late, and that is the joy and the value of being not particularly productive sometimes and being okay with it.
Very much so. It's something that I've had to learn. I'm not very good at it, but when I hit the off switch, I can hit it pretty hard, which is good. So I work hard, play hard, but I made the conscious decision because I'm reopening one of my businesses this weekend that I knew if I didn't take the time off now, it wouldn't happen. And I can't really switch off when I'm back home. So I had to remove myself and really kind of force myself to hit the off switch without the guilt, and just enjoy a couple of weeks off.
And of course that little, it's not that little, but that business is, it's in Portsea, isn't it? That studio.
Yeah, it's a a secondary studio to my main studio, and we do a sort of summer series, summer pop-up. Yeah, so that reopens this weekend. So that's exciting.
I was going to say, is it like a pop-up shop? And it is. It's like a pop-up yoga studio. Pop-up is it Pilates? Yeah.
Pop-up Pilates. Say that quick.
We had a brief discussion the other day about my availability to slide into the teaching schedule, but I do, it's a little bit unknown. I call it power Pilates. It's full intensity, high volume. It's quite violent. It's kind of also.
But you're
also known.
You're wearing
as,
a leotard and leg warmers, right? You're wearing a leotard and leg warmers when you do it.
Yeah. Oh, total. But combat. So it's called FCP. It's full combat Pilates. So I'll be wearing my cargos, my boots, and it's
gorgeous.
It's good for the guys and the girls.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can imagine.
Yeah, it's a nice balance of the passive and the aggressive, a bit of yin, a bit of yang. You don't want it to be all too passive or will not off. You've got to be ready to go.
I mean, sign me up. You've sold me. I mean, with all my knowledge, experience and clinical training, it sounds, it sounds legit.
Yeah, no, it is.
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I've been pioneering it. So it's like, really, I mean, I wasn't going to announce it now, but fuck it. Here we are. We'll just launch.
And you can use my studio as the launch pad.
Yep. Yep. So full combat That's Pilates exciting. By Craig Harper. Yeah.
Christmas just came early, everybody.
What could go wrong? Hey, I will tell you, before we get in.
So much.
Before we.
So much could go wrong.
Yeah, before we stop talking shit and start doing what we're meant to do. I used to work at a gym 126 years ago called Ringwood Super Gym, which was on Maroondah Highway, which once upon a time was the Ringwood ice skating rink. And it was taken over by a couple of brothers who set up this. It was the biggest gym in the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know why I remember this, but it was 44,000 square feet. And if you remember, my studio in Brighton, which was huge in Brighton, was 10,000 square feet. So this was four and a half times. It was fucking monstrous. But anyway, one night I'm in the gym at like 3 minutes to six on a Monday and my boss comes down who's also a dude who's got less of an idea than me and goes, Harps, you've got to do aerobics. I go, fuck aerobics. I've never done aerobics in my life. He goes, there's 70 women in there. You've got to do aerobics. I go, mate, I don't know how the fuck to do aerobics. And he goes, oh, well, just you'll figure it out. I go, what do you mean I'll figure it out? They know more than I know. I go, you don't just figure out aerobics.
So good. That's so good. And he goes, I would have paid good money to see that.
So I went in at.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went in at 1 minute to six and there was about 70 quizzical, curious, fucking bemused women looking at me like, fucking, this is going to be worth staying for. Right?
This is interesting. With my this class my
fucking
just got
biceps
a whole lot
and
more
my deltoids hanging out. Like,
just all arms. Just all arms.
Yep.
I feel like it's that. If you've seen that Call on Me film clip, I'm sure people could relate to this. That Call on Me. Yes, Melissa, you know it. I just feel like that's Craig in that class.
I don't know. That.
And all. Yep.
After this film clip, you're going to YouTube Call on Me film clip. Craig, and you will understand what I mean.
So what is it? Call on Me.
Yeah, Call on Me.
Leg warmers.
You'll know the song.
Everything.
Yeah, leotards, and it's one guy in an aerobics class with a whole bunch of hot women just losing his mind. It's you. It's you.
Is he losing his mind because he's with the hot women or because he doesn't know what he's doing or something else?
Hot women mainly.
Well, no, my...
Yeah, he can actually move quite well, probably.
Well, that's the fucking opposite of me. my self-esteem fucking spiraled for 3 years after that because I was just... Oh, that's not...
Still recovering.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's still a trigger.
I look like a fucking newborn foal, you know?
Sorry I brought up the leg warmers. I've clearly triggered a childhood memory that's just... Oh, that's too good.
All right,
too
now,
good.
For those who've been living under a rock, of course... Steph represented our fine country at the Winter Olympics. She is an excellent athlete. She is a business owner, of course, as you've already perceived. She works in the health, wellness, fitness space. She's a coach, she's a teacher, she's an educator, she's an entrepreneur, she's a public speaker, she's an author, she's an inspiration, and she's been on the You Project a few times. And so your mission today, Miss, is to give us a few thoughts and ideas coming from the health, wellness, fitness, managing ourselves space. Some thoughts and ideas around how we might do 2021 better. 2020 has been, we don't need to go over this, it's Groundhog Day, but it's been a shit year. We all know that. For most people anyway, for some people it's been a year of revelation and growth, and for some people it's been a bit of all. It's been a bit of pain, it's been a bit of growth, it's been a bit of awareness. But we're hoping that 2021 is a much better year for all of us. So I asked you and the other nine people in this series to come up with four or five thoughts around what that might look like. So feel free to inspire us.
No pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure.
So what's number one on the list?
Well, it's similar to what you said. I think I've been speaking with a lot of clients lately who are all sort of sharing the same stories and reality that they're sort of, you know, the motivation is down and the sort of anxiety and the stress is high. And especially with the new working from home environment, I know a lot of my clients have really struggled with that. They've struggled to find routine. And, you know, it just comes back to, I think what you and I have discussed multiple times on the podcast and off the podcast is discipline. And how we need more discipline more than ever to help us manage more so our stress, but also our resilience and our tolerance coming into 2021. I think we all think that the world's going to go back to normal on January 1st and that 2021 is going to fix all of our problems. But I actually, you know, I think that's not the answer either. So it's not about resolutions. It's about just sort of, you know, making better positive lifestyle changes, I think. So for me, number one, my first and foremost for me always is fostering wellness into your life. I think when faced with a crisis or a problem like we all have been, like a global pandemic, like we've all done recently, this is on top of the additional stress and life that we were already managing. I think coming back to that, you know, quick fix January 1st, I think we need to all stop focusing or hoping that things are going to go back to normal and really try focusing on the things that are completely in our control instead of all the you know, COVID crisis, as I like to call it, that's happening around us. So, you know, I think self-care is a bit of a buzzword. It definitely gets thrown around too easily, but it really is a genuine practice for mental health and building resilience. So it's something that people really need to, you know, get into their life and find a way that works for them. And that comes back to things we've spoken about, like non-negotiables. So that if, you know, it's so easy and it's simple. It's the things that we know, but it's just, you know, proper nutrition, moving your body daily, being more mindful, you know, dropping the stimulants, less booze, more sufficient sleep, hydration, all of these things strengthen, you know, your body, but also your mind to better adapt to stress and overload.
Yeah.
So foster well-being, number one.
Yeah, you make a good point in that you made a bunch of good points then, but one that just caught my attention is the fact that we invest our energy or we waste our energy on shit we can't control. I think coming into 2021, it is a great idea to go, okay, what actually do I pay attention to? Where is my focus? Where is my mind? Because where my mind is, my focus is, my attention is, that's where my energy is. Where my energy is where my body is. And where my body is where I am when we put it all together. And that's that we sometimes can ignore the thing that's in our control and overlook that to obsess about the things that are out of our control. And now it's March. And now I'm fucked.
Yeah. Right. Or like all of our clients that are coming out of lockdown and they're now going, oh, well, now I need to get in shape. Or I've been, you know, working from home. I haven't had a routine. I've been fucked. And now I need to turn it around because shit, masks are off. Shops are open again. Life's semi going back to normal. Fuck, what do I do now? Whereas I was trying to motivate and inspire people to do that 3-4 months ago. It's like, we can't control this global pandemic. Mm. It's completely out of our fucking control. But what we can do is we can move our bodies daily. We can have, you know, better conversations with ourselves. We can hydrate. We can look after ourselves. And like I said, foster well-being and put better self-care practices in place. Because when you look after yourself, you look after others better, you feel better, you have a better response to everything, I think.
And I think a really good thing to do off the back of all of that is, because the whole, you know, it's easy, and we've had a version of this conversation, as have millions of other educators and teachers and coaches, where we go, you know, drink better, move better, sleep, all that stuff. And mm-hmm. you're 100% right. But I think the most important part, which you also mentioned, was, okay, so if you're listening to this and you know that in 2021, you want to do things differently to 2020, you want to create different outcomes and results. Awesome. What are your 100% absolutely, completely fucking hardwired non-negotiables? Yeah, what are your not like, oh shit, I hope I get in shape. Fuck that. Not, look, here's my intention. Here's my idea. Here's my goal. No, what's your commitment? What's your unequivocal commitment? What's the thing that you are 100% committed to doing? Like, the thing with commitment is, it's total, it's complete. There's no kind of committed. There's no half committed. There's no pretty committed. If you're pretty committed, you're not committed at all, because commitment is complete. It's total. And I think this comes back to the idea versus the reality. The idea of getting in shape is beautiful and awesome and comfortable and easy, because it requires no effort. But the process of getting in shape is a mother. You know, it's like, fucking hell, really? Oh, how long? How much? What do I have to not eat? What do I have to do? How uncomfortable do I have to get? And it's March and it's June. And oh, fuck, well, this wasn't my intention. No, but life's not about intentions. Life's about commitment and behavior over time. And intentions play a role, but they're only valuable if they lead to sustained behavior.
You put it up on your Instagram the other day and I loved it. If all intentions were actions.
Oh, yeah, we'd all be fucking superstars. Like, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's brilliant.
If intentions were actions, we'd all be fucking superstars, but they're not and we're not, because we spend our lives. You think about, and this is also Groundhog Day for my listeners, but it is just true. The only thing that Craig Harper and his guests do on this show is share theory. Like, it's just an hour of words. It's a half an hour of words. And then the challenge is, okay, what did Craig or Steph or Melissa say that resonated? And then the bigger challenge is, what am I going to do with that stuff? What am I going to do? Always comes back to that. And it's not sexy and it's repetitive and people go, oh, fucking broken record. Don't care. Do not give a flying fuck. Because whatever the thing is that you want to change, it will always come back to whether or not you do the work to create the change. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck how many resolutions you set. I don't care what your talent is. I don't care about your intentions. I don't care about what you tell the world you're going to do. All I care about in terms of personal growth and your potential and reaching your potential, if you're on the journey, all I care about is what you do. And what I care about most is what you do when no one's looking. Because what you do when no one's looking tells me who you are.
Yes.
And whether or not you're serious or you're full of shit. Because everybody's a fucking champion when they've got a crowd. Everybody's a fucking champion when they're handing out trophies and ribbons. That's not life. Life's not fucking grade six. Like, just step into the game. Don't look for accolades. Don't look for a ribbon. Don't look for a trophy. Stop looking for a fucking round of applause or some recognition, because you're a fucking grown up. You don't need it. And if you need it, that's another problem, because now you've got a dependency issue. If I don't get accolades for eating well today, I'm going to throw my fucking Glomesh in the shag pile and you can all get fucked.
Yeah, the instant gratification that's required, yeah. But it's true, like the best business leaders, you know, professional athletes, Olympians, or like the most successful people that I have worked with, they have the strongest non-negotiables.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't, like you said, they don't need a ribbon. But they would tell you that they get up every day and they exercise, and or they have a trainer and they have non-negotiables and they look after their body and they look up, they care about their nutrition and they care about how and when they sleep and how they nourish their bodies and all of those things. It's important to them. And it's not, they're not doing it to be, to razzle dazzle, like you said. They're doing it because it makes them feel good. It makes them be able to operate at that higher level, which is where we all want to get to. But it requires the work, as you said.
And it also requires, and this is something that, that you, you and I can talk about, but we can't give anyone, is that it requires a shift in, it requires a real internal shift. Because, you know, that we give ourselves, when it comes to changing our life, we are constantly telling our stories, ourselves stories about why we are or aren't doing something. And my experience, and I mean this with respect because I've worked with many brilliant, amazing people who have done incredible shit, but I've also worked with lots of people who have a fucking wardrobe full of excuses and reasons and stories about why they're not doing it. And they give themselves a get out of jail card, an escape clause, a safety net. They don't want to fully, I don't want to fully commit because then I'm really uncomfortable and I don't want to be really uncomfortable. We had a lady yesterday on the podcast, it won't be yesterday by the time people hear this, but her name's Carly Taylor. She's lovely. And we were talking about, you know, what do you want to do in the next, you know, you personally, she said, she goes, maybe my main thing for next year or my main thing for next year is just getting up consistently earlier. And we recorded this yesterday, which yesterday, as we do this, it was the 16th of the 12th. And I said, so what time would you like to, what time do you get up now? She goes, oh, 6:37. I go, what time would you like to, like, what's ideal? What's your plan? She goes, 5:30. I go, cool. Well, I'm giving you an opportunity right now in front of thousands of people to make a public commitment to start not on January 1, but to start tomorrow, which is today. I might send her a message later.
I was going to say, did you wake her up at 5:30 this morning?
And,
morning.
And she went, all right, I'm in. I said, well, let's just start with 100 days.
I love that.
Let's start with 100 days of getting up at 5:30 and then we'll talk at the 100-day mark. Maybe we'll talk on air and we'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, but this is the thing. It's like, it's you need to be willing to step off the comfortable cliff into the unknown. You know, you need to go, all right, this is going to be hard and I'm okay with it. And this is going to be a bit unfamiliar and I'm okay with it. And this is me walking away from whatever it is, my wine, my couch, my excuses, my bullshit. Because if I'm being really honest, I have been trying to get in shape or build a brand or do this thing for 10 years, but I've never really actually committed. I've always kind of a little bit kind of committed with a bit of an escape clause.
Well, that's kind of a nice parlay into my one of my favorite tips for 2021. And I mean, this is one of my favorite ones in general, or something that I try to live by myself. And I had to learn this, I think, at a young age as an athlete, but that's internal dialogue, the way in which we speak to ourselves, or having the honest conversation with yourself as to how am I speaking to myself? You know, I think what you were saying is we've all got those closets of excuses, but behavioral, you know, or sort of habit interventions fail when we force ourselves into these, you know, routines and habits that we don't really want to follow. And then that's why, you know, that's why people then rebel and then they seek reward, like you were saying, that, you know, the instant gratification, because then they need to gain a sense of control again by knowing that they're doing well or getting a pat on the back. So, you know, I think we all have this internal voice, you know, that voice that that observes and comments on the world and sort of how we see ourselves in the world or how we think other people see us. So, you know, for many, and I know, especially from watching, sadly, the decline of and the mental health of a lot of my clients over the last few months, that voice has become, you know, a negative narrator, you know, or a negative sort of punisher that lives inside our head. And it's that voice that keeps telling us that, you know, we're falling behind or we're missing the mark or we're not doing enough or we're, you know, we'll never be good enough or, you know, we've got to worry about everyone else before we worry about ourselves. And it's sort of, you know, gets in the way of us being able to achieve better results for ourselves because we're always sort of stopping ourselves on the outset.
Yeah.
With that voice. So, you know, I think it's at those moments that we need to learn to sort of pause and notice that that what that internal kind of dialogue or narrator is telling you. And we all have the ability to switch that around and change it. And turn it into, and I kind of, it sounds a bit corny, but like turn it into the cheerleader, you know, or the complimenter. And you know, cause we're all running our own fucking race.
Yeah.
You know, so we can, I mean, I can call you up anytime, Harps, and you can call me and we can, you know, pat each other on the back and tell each other we're doing a great job. And that's what friends are for as well, and have positive things to say about each other. But if we can't say them about ourselves, then what are we all really trying to achieve? And that gets in the way of those simple habits that we spoke about earlier, and those non-negotiables of just being able to get up and work out and eat better and make better decisions for ourselves. It's the simple shit. Mm. But I really believe, and I had to learn this as an athlete, and I learned it the hard way because I had a coach that, you know, asked me on the way to a tournament, a really important tournament one day in the car, how I was feeling about the race that day. You know, and you know, whether I was just obviously having a bad day, and I'd come off an injury, and I just said, I don't know how I'm feeling, to be honest. I don't really know how today's going to go. I'm not feeling pretty good about the race. And he just pulled the car over in like minus 10 degrees and asked me to get out of the car and think about my attitude.
Really?
And drove off. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Anyway, and he did a lap of the block and came back to get me. And he was like, if you're going to have that attitude, there is absolutely no fucking point in turning up to the race today. Because if you don't have a winner's mindset, you'll fuck up. You'll fail. You're going to pull out of a start gate, you know, at a World Cup tournament thinking, oh, I don't really know how I'm going to go today. Like, that's not the attitude. And it's stuck with me, you know, and he was so German. It was that dramatic, you know, disciplinary coach, but it really stuck with me. And I, you know, it's been such a transferable skill into everyday life, because we all need to coach ourselves. We need to be the coach. We need to be the motivator to get through challenging days. And we're all, you know, coming off months of discomfort and challenge. And, you know, we need to constantly re-wake up daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it is, and get ourselves through the hard shit. Mm. And some days are going to be harder than the others. So your brain's not going to believe it straight away, but you know, eventually the complimenter or the motivator, the cheerleader, whatever resonates with you or works with you, it's going to fade out that negative voice. Mm. You know, you have to train your mind like you do your body. You know, you've got to do as many reps. We've all heard that before, but it's essentially, it can render it powerless eventually by being more positive towards ourselves. Even if you don't believe it at first, mm. you need to be like, you're doing the best you can. You're doing a great job. And, you know, without that internal motivator, we're always going to be stuck in fucking first gear, not going anywhere.
And I think there's a couple of questions that, you know, I always say to people, so when something negative comes in, and it will, because you're human, you're not bad, weak, broken or flawed, you're human. So the two questions that I get them to ask is, one, where does this come from, this story?
Mm. Mm.
Where's this story come from? And two, is it true? Just because you...
Yes,
just,
is it true? Yeah,
just because
yes.
you think it, it doesn't mean it's reality. It means it's a thought about reality. And that's the difference, being able to differentiate between what is capital IS, what is underlined, and what I think is, right? There's the space between the objective reality of something and then my subjective story about that
yes.
objective reality,
yeah.
right? And that's the
absolutely.
And this is the kind of the side-by-sideness of thought and emotion, whereas mm. I can feel inadequate while knowing I am not.
Yes.
Right? I know yeah. I'm not a fuckwit because I've got mm-hmm. evidence and proof and I've got a track record and I've done some things. I know I'm not. Nonetheless, I feel like a fuckwit. I mm-hmm. know I'm not a fraud because I walk the talk, and what I teach people, I live. Nonetheless, mm. I feel like a fraud. And it's being mm. able to recognize those feelings as being nothing more than literally that, a feeling. This is not a reflection of who I am or how I am. This is just a reflection of how I'm feeling at the moment. And look, sometimes there's obviously something more powerful in the feeling and there's some truth in it, of course. But it's just recognizing, you know, where does that come from? And I think as we kind of open the door on 2021 and step into, or hopefully, you know, step into our potential and power and possibilities and all those self-help cliches, but really that is what it's about, is we are prepared to go, look, I still feel a lot of the things I felt. I still feel scared. I still feel anxious. I still feel the self-doubt. I still feel the feeling of being a fraud, you know, or the lack of work. I still feel those things, but I'm probably going to feel those in 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years to some level because I'm human. And so then the question is, well, maybe, okay, despite the fact that you feel like a bag of shit, or you feel not good enough or clever enough or talented enough, or, you know, despite all of that, what are you going to do though? Like, is there something that you can do to create progress?
And it's the awareness. It's that awareness of knowing that you're doing that to yourself as well. So that, like you said, then you can do something about it. But I think without the awareness, it's very hard to take that next step.
Correct. Love it. What's next on your list for us?
Next one on the list is, because we can't do it all alone. Like we said, sometimes I need to call you. Sometimes you need to call me and check in on each other. You know, it's essentially putting a good support system in place. And I think, you know, we grow up with support systems and there's an idea of who that, I like to call it the inner circle, who that inner circle should be for us. And I always say there should be 3 to 5 people that you can have on speed dial that you can trust and confide in at any moment and know that they're there for you regardless if you've spoken in 3 days, 3 months or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But I think because we grow up a certain way and we rely on our family and or our, you know, siblings and our childhood friends, we forget that we're actually completely in control of who sits in our inner circle. And it's as we get older and wiser as we are now, Craig, you know, we can reassess. And I think it's really important to reassess, you know, so I think it's a big, in terms of building resilience, which is what we all need in 2021, that should be our main focus. So in terms of building resilience, we need to have good people. We need to have a good support system around us. So again, I always refer to sport, but I was a great athlete, but I had to put a good support system around me in order to make me a great athlete overall. You know, I needed the support, you know, for training in the gym, physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically. I needed coaches. I needed physios. I needed people to put my body back together when I hurt myself. I needed a coach to stand with me at the top of the gate and hold my hand sometimes on a bad day. Needed a coach to drop me off on the side of the road and tell me when I was being, you know, it was in my head and being a dickhead. So I just think, you know, especially coming off the year that has just been, discussing our struggles is really important. It's essential to ensuring that, you know, we can get through it all. We can't do it on our own. So I think we just need to look at our stress management a little bit more holistically and understand that we can lean on people and ask for help.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it doesn't have to be, you know, I've had to reassess my inner circle multiple times. And you and I have had really fun chats about this, but it doesn't always have to be your friends and family. It can be, you can employ people to be in that support system with you. You're like a psychologist, like a trainer, like a life coach, or, you know, some kind of wellness educator or coach, or, you know, it can be someone from your HR department if it's a more of a, you know, professional problem. We've all got things we need to deal with or have to deal with. So I think ensuring that you're covering all areas, covering all bases, if that's the right thing, in terms of your support system, is really, really important.
And what's interesting is, as you're saying that, I'm literally looking at the sign behind me that you can see over my right shoulder, which is the You Project. And part of the theme of this show is really that your biggest project in your life will be you. That is the management of you. And And I think the idea of having a support network or team is really valuable, and also not to be confused with being dependent, totally dependent on people, but rather having, you know, I call them, so as you mentioned, to have a team of people, maybe professionals, also maybe not, maybe a mix, you know, where, you know, I use this term called an unreasonable friend, and an unreasonable friend is someone that loves you and cares about you, but will give you the no bullshit kind of advice. So they want you to do well. They love you. They want you to succeed. They're in your corner, but they're not going to tell you always what you want to hear. Sometimes we need a bit of a cheer squad, but really sometimes we don't. And we need to be careful that we're not only paying attention to the people who tell us what we want to hear, because you're going to wake up in a minute and you're going to be 3 years down the track and you're still going to have no resilience because you're living in an echo chamber of compliments.
And you've chosen people that aren't giving you any accountability or, you know, physical or mental support.
Yeah.
Which that doesn't make for a very good inner circle.
All right. Have we got one more?
You've got one more if you've got it in you.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. I think we need to, all of us, reframe our stress.
Wow. What does that mean?
You know, it's easier said than done. I didn't know how to put a sort of a word around that, but it's like rethinking or reframing our stress. So I think when people think about resilience, because we've talked about it a lot and it seems to be a big theme of 2020, you know, it's different to positivity and optimism. Mm. You know, resilient people are able to kind of look at situations more realistically. Or negative situations, you know, a little bit more realistically. So we need to be able to focus on problems that we're being faced with, you know, even when the situations are really overwhelming, we need to work out how we can take more realistic steps to, you know, break it down and better deal with it, as opposed to jumping straight to the stress and the overwhelm and the breakdown that comes with the overload of stress. And a lot of us are at our threshold already. I know a lot of my clients are, and they're dealing the best they can, but people's bandwidth is, you know, it's not good. So I think that's where that reframing comes in. It's like, it's not going to go away. We can't just hit a switch and the stress is just going to disappear. It's not going to be January 1st and the pandemic's going to disappear and all our lives are going to go back to normal and, the problems are going to go away. So I think it's about understanding that stress is going to be there and it's going to follow us for a little bit longer. And it might follow us into March. It might follow us into June. So it's like rethinking it, restructuring it. So when the situation does feel super overwhelming, it's about being able to help ourselves improve the situation. So however small that may be, or however, you know, I guess, however many baby steps you need to take, but it's essentially improving. That's improving the sense of overwhelm, not relying on, you know, the fact that motivation is going to turn up and knock on the door and fix everything. And it's like, it's easy to keep saying, you know, we need to have discipline. But you don't need to have no stress to be able to have motivation and discipline and all these other things. You can't wait for the overwhelm and the stress to subside. Is what I'm trying to say. Understand that it's there and work with it the best you can. Reframe it, like mindset over motivation every time. Start reframing it and take smaller steps, but do something, not nothing.
And also a really good idea, and this is going to sound weird, is to be curious about your stress and also realize that.
Yes. Yeah, that's lovely.
Stress nice. Is external and internal. So stress is, or a form of stress or pressure or influence could be, oh, wow, I've got to pay this bill by Friday, or I've got this boss who's wanting me to do this or this and I'm not sure about that. Or it could be that, you know, so there's all these external variables, but you think about stress as a state, stress as an experience. Well, here's a really interesting thing to think about. Is that two people going through the exact same situation, challenge, problem from an objective point of view, right? Both get told on the same day that they've got diabetes or they've or they've got 3 months to pay this bill, or they lose their home, or whatever the external stressor is, then you look at the way that the individual responds to that. One is anxious and stressed and doesn't sleep and is overthinking and is fearful and is angry, and the other one goes into, okay, wow, this wasn't what I expected. How do I fix this? But one is chaotic and one is calm, and that is not about the external. Yes. That is about the person in the middle. And so we need to take ownership of stress and anxiety. We need to understand that that stress as an experience is something that we create, and it is definitely, of course, it is influenced by the goings on of our world. But that's why even in COVID, we've seen, and by the way, me saying this doesn't mean it's easy. I understand that, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying. I'm saying this is actually really difficult, but it's possible. That's the good news, is we've seen people in really, really fucking tough situations who have done real well, and that's because they self-manage real well. And then there have been other people who are in really practically a pretty good situation with no real financial or practical, you know, challenges, but in the middle of that, they are really struggling. And again, no judgment or condemnation. This is just what's happening. So, and I talk about this a lot, the duality of the human experience, which is our external world and our internal world. And I think a really good thing is to go, well, what's actually the cause of my stress? Is it that thing out there, or is it my story about that thing? And is this... Is this, you know, like people know I've spoken about Johnny that I trained, my mate that got blown up in the accident, and I've been rehabbing him for 3 years. And the other day I trained him, and he's like, and he can't, you know, he walks with sticks. He was meant to be a quadriplegic, and he's just been amazing. He's just triumphed, but he's still in constant pain. He's on a million drugs and his body's fucked, but he gets around and he's just a fucking warrior. And, you know, he doesn't mind me saying this, but he can't wee, he can't poo normally, he's got a bag, he's got, like, his body doesn't work, he's, you know, but he still comes to the gym and he trains and he fucking tries his ass off. And I look at him and I go, yeah, I have no problems. I have no problems at all. And the other day I trained him and he was talking about this weird sensation in his foot. And it's like, I don't know, it feels, I'm like, well, you know, anyway, ended up going to the doctor and they went, oh, okay, so we need to cut your toe off. So two days ago, they cut off one of his toes. Yesterday, he sends me a message. G'day, mate. Looking forward to getting back to the gym next week. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Now, I look at him and I spend time with him and I listen to him and I understand the window through which he views the world. And I'm like, I want to be more like him. Like, officially in our relationship, I'm the teacher. Unofficially, I'm the student. Because he's taught me more about resilience and attitude and subjective mindset. Reality and mindset than I could ever teach him. Because all my shit is just, I'm just a bloke talking into a microphone on a podcast. He's a bloke who's at the coalface of pain every day. He's a bloke who's dealing with the hardest shit you can imagine, which is trying to live with chronic pain, with a disability, with all of these, you know, they're still going through court cases and bullshit, and there's lots of trials and tribulations. And in the middle of it, he's just this dude with a good attitude who's doing his best, you know. And then you look at that and then you go, and this is why I think we need to hit the pause button and get curious around stress and anxiety. And go, yeah, you're right. There is bad shit going on. I'm not discounting that and I'm not patronizing you. I get it. But what I want to ask you is, what role do you play? What role do you play in your current state of anxiety and stress? And it's not coming from judgment. It's coming from curiosity. Because when I try to find the level of objectivity about me, which is difficult, but I go, oh, yeah, no, this is me create, because this is a 1 out of 10 that I've turned into a 9.
Well, it's true. When we're in those heightened states of stress, you know, our mind can jump to the most negative, you know, and or harmful kind of thoughts and conclusions that just don't serve us at all and take you to a place that's just so unhealthy. So it just comes back to that what we spoke about earlier. It's like that practicing self-awareness, yeah. that understanding, like you said, that that we have control over that. We can change that state, like you said. It is a state, but we have to have the awareness and the understanding that and or be more deliberate and more mindful about getting ourselves out of that state when we find ourselves in it. Because when you tell us that story about your friend, you know, it shows us that we absolutely can exacerbate and make situations way worse for ourselves than they need to be. We turn a first world problem and an everyday problem into this full blown meltdown, physiological, psychological breakdown on ourselves, which is unnecessary.
And we're not saying by any means, you know, sometimes I can almost hear people saying, oh yeah, but what about, and I get it. And I'm not saying that people don't have it hard. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that neither Steph, we're not saying that people aren't in terrible situations where, and we're all about empathy and love and kindness and service, but also there needs to be a point where, okay, we recognize the shitness of this situation, but then we recognize another thing. And that is my ability, our ability, your ability to self-manage is to understand that even in the middle of bad, we can find good and do good and create good. We don't need to give in to the bad and just hope it kind of works itself out down the track. So I feel like we've gone over our 30 minutes.
Exactly. But it's like you said, when I say all of this too, it comes from a very, very true place of hardship and compassion. Also, it's all my own learnings. You know, I'm only sharing what has worked for me too and what has worked for so many of my clients. And it's like you said, we're sharing ways to be able to take or maybe affect our thoughts, feelings, behaviors, you know, habits, everything we want to take into 2021.
100%. And we're not prescribing anything. We're having a conversation about shit that hopefully...
No, just trying to steer everyone towards better responses, better outcomes and, you know, happier, healthier lives.
Now, where do people find you? For my Power Pilates, my full combat Pilates that I'm teaching over the Christmas period, where do they go?
So to not find that, you can obviously find my website is just stephprem.com.au, and then my studio is Studio PP. So you can find Studio PP on Instagram, or you can find me, Steffi Prem, on Instagram, and all of which will link you to all of the above.
Appreciate you. Thank you for helping us out this year and last year and every year on the You Project. And you have a safe, happy, calm, relaxed, not too stressful Chrissy period.
So grateful for your time as always. Thank you for having me on the show again.
Thanks, team. Love you guts. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
The addict in your family might need you to take the first step for them. They Have Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment has the experience, staff, resources, and processes to help you help your loved one. DAHAB's model of intensive rehabilitation has revolutionised the practice of addiction treatment in Australia. Registered with the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, DAHAB now offers rehabilitation programs for drug, alcohol and gambling addiction and is a private health fund approved treatment service. So if you or someone you care about is fighting addiction, there is hope. Addiction is treatable. Recovery is possible. Just ask me, call. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. DAHAB Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment. Call DAHAB on 1-800-329-422 or learn more at DAHAB, DAYHAB, or one word, .com.au.